From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, we continue this series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text comes from Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. In every believer's heart there is a constant struggle between the old nature and the new. The old nature is very active and loses no opportunity of plying all the weapons of its deadly armory against newborn grace. While on the other hand, the new nature is ever on the watch to resist and destroy its enemy. Grace within us will employ prayer and faith and hope and love to cast out the evil. It takes unto it the whole armor of God and wrestles earnestly. These two opposing natures will never cease to struggle so long as we are in this world. The battle of Christian with Apollyon lasted 3 hours, but the battle of Christian with himself lasted all the way from the wicket gate to the river Jordan. The enemy is so securely entrenched within us that he can never be driven out while we are in this body. But although we are closely beset and often in sore conflict, we have an almighty helper, even Jesus, the captain of our salvation, who is ever with us and who assures us that we shall eventually come off more than conquerors through him. With such assistance, the newborn nature is more than a match for its foes. Are you fighting with the adversary today? Are Satan, the world, and the flesh all against you? Be not discouraged nor dismayed. Fight on, for God Himself is with you. Jehovah Nissi is your banner, and Jehovah Rophi is the healer of your wounds. Fear not, you shall overcome, for who can defeat omnipotence? Fight on, looking unto Jesus, and though long and stern be the conflict, sweet will be the victory, and glorious the promised reward. From strength to strength go on, wrestle and fight and pray, tread all the powers of darkness down, and win the well-fought day.
Soldiers of the cross,
we'll be right back. except dry press unto higher ground. And be not thou discouraged, for Satan's host assail. Against you God has said, the gates of hell shall not
Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help, free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. Continuing his series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, Dr. Cairns is dealing with chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. He has been considering these verses under the theme of looking at every fact and facet of life through the lens of the gospel. He has reminded us that the entire chapter is an exposition of verse 1, where the Apostle Paul declared, There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus.
In verse 31, Paul asks the question, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" In answer, Dr. Cairns presented five certainties of sovereign grace, which Paul sets forth in the concluding verses of the chapter. These are the truths that God is for us, He has delivered up His Son for us, He has justified us in Christ, Christ has performed a complete work for us, and because of that, nothing can separate us from God's love in Christ. In the light of these glorious truths, there are precious consequences that follow for all of Christ's redeemed people. First, there is no more subjugation to the devil's domination, nor can any man succeed ultimately in his opposition to God's children. God is working all things, even the things that appear to be against us, for our good and for His glory. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message called Five Consequences of the Certainties of Sovereign Grace.
Well, last Sabbath evening, as I have indicated, we looked at five certainties. I'm not going to go through them again, because if I start preaching them again, we'll never get to this evening's message. Five great certainties, starting off with God is for us. Never forget it. He's for us, He's not for our enemies. He's not against us. This notion that so many Christians have grown up with, that God, our Father in heaven, is like some great ogre standing behind us with a big stick, a club ready to smash us on the head every time we somehow err or displease Him. Oh, He is a God of holiness. There is such a thing as divine chastening, the chastening of a father's love. But God is for us. Always, in every circumstance, He is for us. That's the first thing. Said I wasn't going to go down them. I'm very, very tempted. But I leave it to your good memory to supply the rest. Now, tonight I want us to look at the other side of these verses that we have considered to extract the great certainties. And I want us to think of five consequences of the certainties of sovereign grace. We have seen these certainties. Now from them, there are five great consequences or conclusions that we may draw. Verse 31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? God is for us. And the first great consequence is no subjugation. That's the force of verse 31. Who can be against us? Now, when you look at that, the very first thing that it suggests to your mind is that there can be no opposition of any kind. Dr. Barrett likes to take one of the great basic canons of biblical interpretation. To scholars and theologians, it's known as the analogy of faith. Mike Barrett's very erudite way of putting it, in language that you will need a great dictionary to be able to understand, is it can't mean what it can't mean. You ought always to remember that when you're studying your Bible. It can't mean what it can't mean. When you read this, it can't mean that there'll never be anybody rise up against you. Because the Lord Jesus said this is not only possible, it's certain. In John 15, verse 20, He said, "Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also." So it's not saying there'd be nobody rise up against you if you're a Christian. But what it is saying is, that no opposition by man or by devil can ever reverse God's grace or bring a saint back under Satan's dominion. Remember that. No opposition can ever reverse God's grace or bring a saint back under Satan's dominion. That's the aim of opposition. The aim of the devil and his crew in opposing God's people is to cut them off from God. It is to make them become, or at least feel that they have become, destitute of God's grace. To convince them that God is no longer for them, that God is their enemy, and that they are lost. It is to suck them back into Satan's thraldom. Now, the promise is, no opposition can ever succeed in doing that. Again, remember this, that all the opposition we encounter in this world, all the suffering, all the affliction that may be heaped upon us, all the persecution of which the Savior spoke, is all part of the Lord's plan. I don't pretend for one moment to understand the details of the plan. I don't understand why at this point in time God is allowing hundreds and thousands of his people to lie incarcerated in prisons around the world. I don't understand why some Christians have had to watch their churches burn to the ground and their houses burn along with them. I don't understand why God has the blood of the martyrs to become the seed of the church. But I do know that this is happening. And I do know that God is saying whatever is happening is not happening outside of his decree. It's not happening despite his decree. It is not happening in any way that will overthrow his decree. He is the sovereign God. He is not a spectator. He is not merely a cheerleader. He is the supreme director. And while this does not in any way remove the responsibility of men, while men are still responsible for their own voluntary choices and actions, yet in his own inscrutable fashion, the sovereign God works all things after the counsel of his own will and in the fulfillment of his own purpose. And that purpose is the ultimate glory of his people with Christ. So that even the opposition comes into part of the all things that are working together for our good. Remember what I said when we looked at that text, our good is not necessarily our current feeling of comfort. Our good is not necessarily to be defined in terms that the world would say, ah, that's good. Our good is our ultimate conformity to the image of Jesus Christ, that he may be the firstborn among many brethren. So despite all the opposition, the promise of God for his people, Isaiah chapter 41, one of my favorite passages of Scripture, one I use very frequently when I am dealing with the sick, and especially with those who are going through very deep waters. Verse 10 of Isaiah 41, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing. And they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shall not find them. even them that contended with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. That's the meaning of Romans 8:31. That's the meaning of it. Who shall be against us? This is the end of the story. God says, I will uphold you. And I will put them to shame. I will confound them, and they will be as nothing. The reason is, verse 13, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. That's God's promise. We're not going to be subjugated by the devil or by his crowd. If God is for us, who could be against us? Listen to what he says, Isaiah 43, the first two verses. Now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Now let's stop there. Is there a sweeter sentence in the English language or any language? Fear not. I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. Thou art mine. And here's the consequence. When thou passest through the waters, not if, but when thou passest through the waters, affliction, trouble, sickness, weakness, and even death itself, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. Do you get that? What's the river that most people live in dread of? The Jordan of death. Many a time, when you're, especially when you're young, and you're healthy, the thought of death is so alien that one of two things can happen. A, it never crosses your mind that you might die, and that's very foolish, because the young die just as much as the old. But the thought can be overwhelming. There is the fear. I'll be flooded in this awful river of death. No, the Lord says, when you're passing through the river, its waters shall not overthrow thee or overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. The God of the three Hebrew children is our God today. And when they were in the furnace, there was not even the smell of the fire about them. The flame couldn't kindle upon them. This is the promise. Take again what he says in Isaiah 54:17. This is the promise to God's people. This is why he's saying, who can be against us? No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Now he admits that weapons will be formed against us. And weapons will be hurled against us. And forces will be employed against us. The devil will do his best to bring us down. But the promise is, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment shalt thou condemn. Is this for me? Is this a promise I can take? Is this a promise you can take? Listen carefully. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. I'm their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. In other words, if you are one of the justified by grace through faith, and you have imputed to you the righteousness of Christ, and you are serving Christ, and in his service you are cursed, you're opposed, weapons are hurled against you, God says they will not prosper. And you will be able to condemn every tongue that will rise against you. This is the heritage of God's servants. God is for us. So who can be against us? There's no subjugation. God's people are free. They've been given a glorious liberation. And if the Son make you free, you'll be free indeed. There's no return. Salvation's a one-way ticket. There's no return to the devil's embrace.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.